This is the WHL This Week radio edition, presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Warrior Hockey. Here's your host, John Key.
And welcome to the show. WHL's Eastern and Western Conference Finals are underway. We'll preview both. Swift Current Broncos head coach and GM Manny Viveros will join us in moments, discussing what will be an intriguing series with the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Everett Silvertips forward Garrett Pilon will stop by later. He'll preview the series of the Tri-City Americans. Also, NHL Central Scouting has released its final rankings. We'll have the rundown of the 45 WHL players who made the list. First up, Manny Viveros, the head coach and GM of the Swift Current Broncos, joins us ahead of the Eastern Conference Final with the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Manny, you guys don't do anything easily, do you? A fourth straight game seven. Has the heart rate come down from that big win earlier this week?
Well, our kids are fine. They're resilient. They respond real quick. It's just us old guys, we have a hard time to get this recover here. But oh, it's all good. No, like I agree. Like we haven't done anything easy at all. But we knew it was going to be difficult anyhow. Playing Regina and Moose Jaw, two really good hockey teams too. So we weren't surprised at all that we had to go deep.
Your team's ability to bounce back after a loss has been phenomenal this season. You think back, the triple OT loss, hanging on a thread, lots of good chances to close out that game, couldn't get it done, and then to respond the way you did. You mentioned resilience to these guys here. That really seems to be the key word here right now for you.
Well, a big thing for our kids were after that game six, we thought we played, I thought it was one of our better games of the year. A little bit more puck luck, we happened to close it out on game six. So, we talked about for 5 minutes after the game and it was done and over with. And we were concentrated on game seven and remarkably how rested our kids seemed the next day and confident going into Moose Jaw. We knew it was going to be it was going to be a real tough game. And we got a little bit we had a little bit puck luck on our side that game and got out to their lead, and for Moose Jaw, unfortunately for them, they just didn't have anything left in their tanks.
This is really Swift Current dream world right now. I mean, I know the market, and I know playing Regina and Moose Jaw and beating them in seven games in the playoffs to a sold-out barn is almost like a fairy tale there right now. So take me inside the city and what the mood is like.
Well, our city has been outstanding all season long with their support. It started even last year on our short run we had in two rounds that we had, and this just carried over to this year. And we were fortunate enough to get off a good start and have a fairly decent regular season. And then especially after the trade deadline, we made those moves to bring those other players in. Our rink was sold out right after that, or just shortly after Christmas. And we were fortunate enough that it's continued to keep going like that. And our community has just been—it's been amazing. Just the buzz, the excitement around town here has been really good, which is really good for this city and Southern Saskatchewan.
Let's go back to the trade deadline. You mentioned it there. We all know you had a very active one. We spoke to you afterwards. Looking back, though, now, considering the players that have all played a key role in getting the Broncos to the Eastern Conference Final, you needed to make all those moves. There's not one move there that you couldn't have made to have your team in the position you are now. So what looked like a lot of moves, Manny, looks like, it was the key ingredient there at the deadline for you.
Well, John, we knew that, like on our side here, our East Division side of here, we had to, we're going to have to either go through Moose Jaw or Regina or Brandon for that matter, depending on, how everything played out here like that. We knew Regina was going to certainly load up for the Memorial Cup, and we knew how good Moose Jaw was itself, and we felt that we certainly had to add some depth and a little bit of, experience to our lineup here. So, and, it turned out really well for us, and all those kids that we acquired, and even the kids from Calgary we acquired earlier like that, have been major parts of our success so far.
Yeah, all the teams remaining here in the conference finals have all made significant moves. The team you're facing, Lethbridge, not sure when you were talking to Peter Ranholt putting together that 10-piece deal that you thought you would see Lethbridge in the playoffs, but lo and behold, here you are. You'll match up here in this best of seven. I'm sure the irony is not lost on you that these two teams here are set to meet.
No, certainly not. There was obviously a lot of moving parts, when we're getting this deal down between both clubs, and it's a win-win for everybody. We had to give up some really good, fine young men and really good hockey players, and we knew that from our side. And they did that the same also too. They gave up some really key players to their team also too. And it's just kind of funny how it worked out. And both clubs are very, very, I'm sure, very happy with the moves that they made and that. And it's going to be, it's going to be a little bit interesting. But at the end of the day, John, our kids that came over from Lefferts, they're Swift Current Broncos now, and our kids that are over there now, they're Lefferts Hurricanes. So I don't foresee any reminiscing from either the clubs on ice or off ice either like that. It's going to be, all business, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Now, these two teams met up with a full roster after the deadline in Lethbridge. And, boy, you know what? This is going to be tough, I think, for the Broncos. They handed you that night. I think it was a 5-2 Lethbridge win. They're rolling right now. When you see how they're getting the job done through the playoffs, what are you seeing out of the Hurricanes?
Well, they're well coached, and they have obviously a real smart general manager. The organization has done a remarkable job over the last few years to get that organization back to one of the elite clubs in the Western Hockey League, and we have tremendous respect for that whole organization and the coaching staff. And we know they got them playing really well right now, and they're all in, and they're playing very, very good hockey, and the goaltending has been really good for them also too. So we have to concentrate on what we do best for ourselves and gives ourselves the best chance to win. And I feel like at the end of the day, if we feel as if we play our game, we're going to have a good opportunity to hopefully win the series.
All right, Manny. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great couple of conference finals on both sides. Sounds like the snow is also coming off the golf courses there in Swift Current after an unbearable spring. So hopefully the golf season a little bit delayed for you out there. And it continues on. Thanks for being our guest here on WHL this week.
Thanks for having me on, John.
From the drop of the puck to the Edge Chanouth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
45 WHL players have been listed by NHL Central Scouting for its final rankings in advance of the 2018 NHL Draft in Dallas this June. Heading that list is defenseman Ty Smith of the Spokane Chiefs, currently at the World Under-18 Hockey Championships. He is ranked 14th amongst North American skaters. Joining Smith in the top 30, defenseman Alexander Alexeyev at number 22 from the Red Deer Rebels, Jet Wu at 28 from the Moose Jaw Warriors, and Kalen Addison of the Lethbridge Hurricanes is ranked 30th, including Smith, Alexeyev, Wu, and Addison. 18 WHL defensemen landed in the final rankings, with 8 in the top 73. Several forwards in the top 60 as well. Milos Roman is ranked 41st from the Vancouver Giants. Center Riley Stotts, 51st from the Calgary Hitmen. Center Kristaps Rykel, 53rd of the Red Deer Rebels. Spokane Chiefs defenseman Philip Kroll is ranked 54th. And center Kyle Topping of the Kelowna Rockets is ranked 59th. Four goaltenders from the WHL are also ranked. Joel Hofer of the Swift Current Broncos, 7th. David Tendick, 8th from the Vancouver Giants. Regina Pats tender Max Paddock is ranked 22nd. And Duncan McGovern of the Kootenay Ice is ranked 24th. At the 2017 NHL Draft last year, a total of 33 WHL players were selected, including 7 in the first round.
This is the WHL This Week, brought to you by Warrior Hockey.
Canada's under-18 team is represented by four players from the WHL, as well as head coach Don Hay of the Kamloops Blazers. Tournament is underway in Russia. Spokane Chiefs defenseman Ty Smith is captaining the Canadian contingent. He's joined by Matthew Robertson of the Edmonton Oil Kings, forwards Cole Fonstad for the Prince Albert Raiders, Chase Waters of the Saskatoon Blades as well. Canada opened the tournament with wins over the U.S. and Belarus. Garrett Pilon and the Everett Silvertips get on the ice with the Tri-City Americans to decide the Western Conference Championship. Pilon from Saskatoon says the Humboldt Broncos will be in their thoughts.
Yeah, I think obviously that was a shock to the hockey world. I mean, I knew quite a bit of guys on that team, and we're close friends with actually some of them that were severely injured and stuff. The outpour of support is obviously a big thing, I think, for those families, but I think it's just an awful tragedy. And I mean, it's awful for all the guys, even think about all the traveling you do as a junior hockey player on the bus and the fact that it happened there. And I mean, I just couldn't imagine what those families are going through.
I talked to you while you were headed to the rink to prepare for the Tri-City Americans, but let's go back to the Portland Winterhawks. You scored a key goal. Portland had just taken the lead late, but you responded, 9 seconds later to tie things up, eventually leading to the winning goal by Wyatt Wiley to send that series back in the game four there to a game five. That was a key goal. Take me back to that moment of the game where they had just scored to take the lead.
Yeah, I mean, we were chasing that game from the very get-go. I mean, they had us on our heels the whole game, and I mean, Hart had was standing on his head for us and was making big saves. I think he had, about like three breakaway saves there where he had, and he was just holding us in it, and then they got that pop, and we kind of had a bit of a thumped our heads down a bit because with 2 minutes left, you don't exactly expect to maybe win the game when you're on your heels like that the whole time, but made a good play off the draw with Kevin Davis, kind of came up through the middle, kind of weaved through some guys. Put it out to Connor Dewar, and then it was just a far pad play right to me, and I just tried to get all of it on it, and luckily I did.
Series was over in five games, and you, of course, came over in that trade from Kamloops along with Andre Val and what was a pre-deadline blockbuster here. So it looks like things have worked out for the Silver Tips. How are you enjoying the playoff ride there in Everett?
It's been a great experience. I think Everett's been a great city to play in front of, great fans, and the team's been great. All the guys in there have been great, and I think we've really been getting close together and just really throughout this playoff run becoming more of, the hope to win. I mean, you're always, every series you go through, there's a little bit of nerves, but I think the real hope to kind of make it to that final is getting bigger.
Now it's the Tri-City Americans, a team you know well from being inside the U.S. division here. Two different teams here for sure. They've coasted through eight straight wins in the playoffs to get to the Western Conference Final. What's the matchup here? How do you break down the matchup between the Silver Tips and the Americans here, Garrett?
I think, they have a great offense and they have a great active defense. I think that's one of the big things. Even their defense, they're offensive-minded in a way, and I think they're a big team. They have guys who can score and get in front of nets, and they have guys who are putting up points. I think a big thing with them is, they necessarily haven't lost a game yet, so, if we can get them to lose a game, you don't know how they're going to handle it or how they're going to respond to that, so I think just to come out and have a strong thing, maybe put them back on their heels.
It's been a fantastic playoffs. You've been keeping tabs on what's been going on maybe out east with some of those seven-game series?
Oh, yeah. We actually, our team went and actually watched the whole Spirit game together at one of our guys' birthday parties. So we were watching that game, but we've been paying attention. It's been pretty crazy. I think there's been like three, four game sevens or something like that over there. Yeah, it's been a crazy playoffs, and it's been exciting to watch. So even the matchup out there right now with Lethbridge and Swift Current, those are two teams that traded players at the deadline. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams shake out.
Well, Garrett, it's been fantastic watching you and the Silver Tips here in the Western Conference as you take on the Tri-City Americans here, a team, as you mentioned, hasn't lost yet in the playoffs. Appreciate your time here on WHL this week, and good luck in the conference finals.
Thank you.
Hey, that's the show. Thanks to our guests, both Manny Viveros, Garrett Pilon as well. Two great series here ahead. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL Broadcast Partners and Warrior Hockey.